At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Art critic and author Sebastian Smee. His new book is Paris in Ruins, Love, War, and the Birth of Impressionism. Plein air painting. At first it seemed ordinary to say it that way. Why not go outside and look? But that was a turning of the page. That wasn't how it was supposed to be done. You were in a studio. Maybe you worried about the sunlight coming through from the north, but you didn't deal with the moving sun all day long or the shades of colors that came from the sunlight. That's the breakthrough, I understand. Do I have that right, Sebastian? Light.
Absolutely. And it's to do with painting outside in front of the subject. And we sort of think, well, what's radical about that? But in fact, it was radical. I mean, the truth is that painters had started doing this about 80 years earlier, you know, the end of the 18th century, but they hadn't considered anything they did in that way exhibitable. You know, it shouldn't be shown in exhibitions or sold or anything like that. It was just done to study nature, and then you would go back to the studio and work up a serious canvas and present it to the salon. You know, so that was the way it was for a long time. And then it was the Impressionists who first said, no, we are really interested in these effects of light. We want to liberate color. We're not so interested in carefully worked up compositions with allegorical meanings and all sorts of ideological rhetoric. We just want to paint what we see in front of us with freshness, with directness, and with sincerity. You know, this word sincerity was a key word for the Impressionists. And so that's what they did. And, you know, it's easy for us, I think, when we go to museums today and we look at the galleries filled with Monets and Sicilies and Pizarros, to forget just how radical it was to paint in this way, out in the open air, without underdrawing, without structure, and just to try to reproduce fleeting effects of light and color.
Baird, again, because she's such a compelling character, Baird does one thing, however, that makes her work completely different than her colleagues. She paints women at home doing straightforward, ordinary things, and she paints it quickly. I get the impression she makes a few strokes. She doesn't elaborate on the canvas. And these canvases have the feeling of, well, I think one way you put it, Sebastian, is the impression that you get from being in the presence of such a thing. The painter is supposed to convey what it felt like or what the painter experienced while painting the scene. And I take it that's the same for Baird when she paints her sisters or her friends.
That's exactly right, Sean, and it's connected to this word I used before, sincerity. You know, this idea of being honest and forthright about what was in front of you. And yes, that's one of her main innovations was to move away from landscape. She didn't stop that altogether, but to really focus on the home, the domestic setting, not just inside, but gardens as well, and these in between spaces. She was very interested, in fact, in sort of threshold spaces and I think threshold states. You know, she would paint adolescent girls, for instance, I think because she was fascinated about what it meant to be on the cusp of adulthood. And she was incredibly conscious of the fact that things were always changing. She was a real poet, if you like, of fugitive effects. And this becomes evident when you look at her style. I mean, she was in many ways more radical than any of the other Impressionists in the way she loosened up her brushstrokes. She often left large parts of the canvas bare, you know, because she wanted to give you that feeling of something quickly caught, as if on the fly, glimpsed. And that spoke to her sense, I think, of the fragility and the transience of life. And that, I must assume, comes out of you know, the trauma she experienced. Her whole world had been turned upside down, and she was incredibly acutely aware of how the rug can just be pulled out of from under you at any time.
You remind me to make the point that I observed in the photos, the pictures you include in your book and also reference. There's very little to accompany Manet's drawing of the execution of Communards. And they did not, as a group, spend time recreating Bloody Week or the Communards or the Siege of Paris. Why did they not include some of those scenes?
It's a real enigma in many ways. If we think of Impressionists as being painters who wanted to paint what they saw in front of them on a daily basis, you know, with their own eyes, then you would think surely they would have painted some of these enormous areas of Paris that had been basically burned down or bombed. There was rubble everywhere, but they almost never paint that. And that seems, you know, you could look at it as a kind of, almost a kind of psychological repression, you know, a response to trauma, perhaps to sort of deny it. And I think there probably is an aspect of that, a truth to that. But I also think that they were interested in looking forward. You know, some of the more conservative painters did paint Paris in ruins and the rubble of the city and exhibit those works at the Salon. But those paintings were filled with sort of conservative ideological rhetoric, as if to say, you know, never again, and weren't the communists. That's terrible, and we must get back to a stable conservative society, and maybe bring back a monarchy and so forth. The Impressionists wanted nothing to do with that. They were patriotic, but they wanted France to be a democratic place, and they wanted to get on with living in the present, not being stuck in the past. And so there's a real optimism, I think, as well in their choice to focus on the beauty of contemporary life as it's lived.
Paris in Ruins, Sebastian Smee. When we come back, the tragedy of the love affair.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.